Good morning, Dr. Carl. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Dr. Kathy.
That's good. It's lovely to see you. What is going on in the background there? What are those? Are those sea lions?
They're elephant seals, video is from, I think it's my second visit to Antarctica. I've been there seven times.
Very nice. Very nice. Can I ask you, can we talk about roads? How is
roads,
it that how is it that the Romans built roads that are still around today, but our engineers with all our fancy technologies build roads and a little bit of global warming and we have potholes? Why?
The Romans had the long-term view, which is a good thing to have. So we've had the situation in the world where we've gone from governments having the long-term view to the short-term view, and companies who used to have annual reports now have quarterly reports. So if something doesn't make a profit in 2.5 months, they won't do it. The example would be, for example, if you have an 8-year-old niece who is just gorgeous and wonderful and will obviously go on to have a fabulous career and pay tax, but she's unfortunately very sick with some sort of disease, which will cost $10,000 to fix. But on the other hand, if you fix it, she'll be part of the family and will enrich the country by paying taxes and the family. On the other hand, in the short term, a funeral's only $2,000. It makes more sense in the short term. And that's what's happening with countries around the world. So the Romans, with their roads, they had a long-term point of view and they built them very well with curvature, so that they would, the water would run off, and they had several layers, and they built them for long-term loading. And in fact, the loading from a hard wooden wheel on the road was higher than the loading from the rubber tires on a 50-ton semi-trailer. And still they survived for years and years and years. They also had another trick with regard to concrete. They made, perhaps accidentally, we don't know, a self-healing concrete. And concrete will be concrete is very strong in compression, but weak in tension. Now, think about a string. You can pull on a string and it won't break. You push on the string, it just bends.
Yes.
So it's weak in compression, but strong in tension. Concrete's the opposite. And so with you put a lot of stress on it, it's very strong. And if you try to bend it by having some of the underlying area bent, it will crack. And so that does happen because, you know, the ground shifts. And the Romans had a concrete which had a thing in it called pozzolan, which was an ash that came from the volcanic beds. Nowadays we use something different, which is not as good. Also, we grind it more. The trick is that the Romans had lime, and this is a word I didn't know, clast, C-L-A-S-T, small chunks of quicklime, calcium oxide, one atom of calcium joined to one atom of oxygen, and they had fairly big clasts. And if there was a crack in the concrete, the rain would get in and it would heal itself. And we don't do that. So today, our concrete lasts 70 to 100 years because we've gone down one particular short-term pathway for doing it, but Roman concrete would last 2,000 years.
That's incredible.
Because it would heal itself.
Playing the long game, it doesn't only apply to roads and what the Romans, you know, their foresight. I mean, you look at even today somebody like Warren Buffett, who's an investor, right? He plays the long game. You invest today and you leave your investment. So the long game generally, I think, is more effective than instant gratification.
Do you follow the podcast More or Less by Tim Harcourt from some London newspaper, The Economist or The Financial Times or something? No?
No, but I could look into it.
Anyway,
for sure.
It's called More or Less. It's on the BBC. And on one hand, Warren Buffett says that the overwhelming majority of financial advisors are hopeless.
Yes.
And could not organise a beer in a brewery.
Yes.
But there are some who are very good. And he made a bet with one of them that over a 10-year period, that the stock market in America would do better than the best efforts of this person called a hedge fund manager. Hedge is not just the fence between two properties, but also it means to hedge against bad times. So whether the market goes up or down, you make a profit. And sure enough, they had $100,000 bet. And over 10 years, the stock market did better than a financial advisor. On the other hand, because he took the long-term view, If you had put $1 into his Berkshire Hathaway when it began, it'd be worth about $500 today. But if you put $1 into the stock market, it'd be worth $500 today from 50 years ago.
If you put $1
into Berkshire Hathaway, it would have been worth $50,000. So following long-term views is good, but it's very easy just to get out of trouble right now and just say half-truths and to keep people happy for half a day and not take the long-term view.
It sounds so cheap, doesn't it?
It is. We need politicians. So my advice nowadays has changed, where I tell the next generation coming through, become a politician, because if you get angry at what the politicians do, well, if you haven't either supported a politician or run for politics yourself, it's your fault. A bit shallow, I'll be sorry.
But clearly humanity is becoming more myopic or impatient. I'm not sure which one.
Well, we've always never been perfect, you know, going back thousands of years. But today we are living in the most peaceful time ever in the history of the human race. Read the book, The Better Angels of Our Nature by Steven Pinker. And if you include the stupid Ukraine war and Somalia, oh, God, and the Hutus and Ukraine, we are still living in a more peaceful time. So if you compare, for example, the An Lushan revolt in China.
Yes.
In the year 755 AD.
Yeah, I think about that revolt often. I do.
Yeah, so to put down that revolt in China, the Chinese emperor killed 1 in 3 people in China.
Oh, my gosh.
1 in 6 people in the whole world, because China was half the world's population. If you roll forward to the 13th century, Genghis Khan killed 1 in every 9 people alive. Second World War, 1 in 44. Still bad, but we're getting better. And we have had remarkably long periods of peace, but then that leads to financial inequality. Read the book Capitalism in the 21st Century by Thomas Piketty. We'll talk about that another time.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that. Dr. Carl, can we please talk about living creatures that emit light?
Yes. It's really weird. We discovered this back in the 1960s with our first primitive machines that could pick up very small amounts of light. Okay. And on average, all living creatures that we've looked at put out per square centimetre of skin each second, they will emit between 10 and 1,000 photons of light.
Mm.
That's an incredibly low number. And there's three sorts of energy that we humans emit. One of them is black body radiation, which every thing, whether it's alive or not, if it's above the absolute zero temperature, it emits radiation. Forget about that. Secondly is bioluminescence, and you might see this at the ocean every now and then, when suddenly as the waves curl over, they give off this bright blue light. Have you ever seen bioluminescence in the ocean?
Yes, in the waves. Absolutely.
Yeah. And especially common with rowers, who row in the early morning before sunrise, the poor things, and as their oars dip into the water, they see this. And a third one is this biophoton, where living creatures give off light. Usually, we've now worked out, due to your body undergoing some sort of stress and then giving off chemicals called reactive oxidative species, ROS, you know, things like, you know, you've heard of hydrogen peroxide. That chemical is really good at cleaning.
Yes.
Well, your body makes some of that. And when your body is under stress, and the stress can be good stress or bad stress, like the stress of pumping iron to make your muscles grow bigger. But when your body's under some sort of stress, it will give off more of these photons of light, and then this stops at death. We discovered it in the early 60s. We're getting better at it now with our new technology, and it could well be that in years to come this will be a diagnostic modality.
That's amazing. Dr. Carl, where do fireflies fall within these three different categories?
They're bioluminescence.
They're bioluminescence.
So they're not black body. Bioluminescence, and most of bioluminescence, bio means light.
Yes.
Luminescence means light. Most of bioluminescence comes from a chemical called luciferase. Now, you know your Bible studies and God and the devil?
Yes, kind of.
And do you remember the devil's real name besides the devil?
Well, there's a few, right? There's
but
Beelzebub.
Lucifer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and yep. Lucifer, you remember Lucifer?
I've heard.
And Lucifer literally means the light giver. The Bible quite clearly, the various, you know, Bibles quite clearly say that God and the devil were besties and they had a fight and God won and booted out Lucifer and turned him into, the winners always rewrite history.
Dr. Cole, so I want to continue this with you, but I'm looking at the time and my producer's pointing at the clock saying, look at the time, look at the time. So we have to leave it.